Chris and Kira.
I'd rather put my nipples in a pencil shop.
Sunday to Thursday from 10.
On 2FM. FM.
Lem is here for a very important reason. Because I'm very excited by this. Every week, friend of the show Emma comes in, I guess, two capacities. As a friend of the show, of course. But also, much, much, much more importantly, as the fake celebrity news quiz mistress. So, I mean, there's a lot of rights and responsibilities, of course, that come with being the fake celebrity news quiz mistress. But before we get to any of that, Emma, your Twitter is at EmmaPower87, at EmmaPower87. How is life? How have you been? You all right?
Good, yeah. It's been really good.
You must have missed us, of course, not being in last week with us.
I did. I feel like I haven't been here with you in ages.
Yes. Yeah. It's good to see you. I'm glad we've been reunited. And, you know, it's good that we're all back together again.
Maybe the breakaway might have helped you guys improve a little bit with the game.
You see, this is it. Because, of course, Chris, Emma was on a winning streak.
Yeah.
Emma has won 3 times in a row.
Yeah, I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that this is going to be a poor year for me and the fake celebrity.
Chris, it's too early. Don't give up, man.
It's not. We're nearly in April.
It's your negative attitude that made you come 3rd place last year.
Did I come 3rd in this last year?
You
so
did.
I came last out of all of it. All right.
Well,
negative attitude, I'm not so sure. Lack of skill, perhaps.
I didn't want to say last. I said 3rd place, just so you wouldn't feel
it's
like
very diplomatic
last,
of you. Thank you, Emma. Yeah, you're good. I like it. Well, look, Emma, of course, is on Twitter. Her Twitter is at EmmaPower87. At EmmaPower87. Go online, give her a follow, say hello, all of that kind of stuff. So let me explain to you what's going on. We're going to play the fake celebrity news quiz. Now, how this works is every week, Emma comes in. She gives us 4 celebrity news stories. However, one of these celebrity news stories is fake. And it's up to Kira and I to try and guess what story is the fake story among all of these other ones. So, Emma, I mean, look, we'll do our best. We're really starting on the back foot here, as they say. We're starting from quite a position of weakness, Kira and I, with our current record here on the film quiz. But look, we will do our best. As always, I'm going to set up it so that I can take notes and everything, if you don't mind. And
that's okay.
Thank you. So, Emma, whenever you're ready, let's hear the first story.
Okay, so the first story is that Matthew McConaughey was arrested for possession of marijuana, right? And when the police came to arrest him, they found him naked, dancing around, playing the bongo.
Okay.
That sounds like a good night.
Yeah,
I know.
That sounds fantastic.
I wouldn't mind hanging out with Matthew McConaughey naked playing bongos.
So
I mean, that's cool.
He was arrested for doing that?
Yes.
Right.
Well, he was arrested because he had drugs, but when they
not
came
because
to arrest
he was
him,
naked with the bongos.
Where was he nude with the bongos?
At his house, apparently. I heard it was on a roof.
Okay.
Oh, that's just dangerous, Matthew.
Yeah, that is dangerous. How true that is, I don't know, but that's what I heard.
That sounds like he was having fun.
Yeah.
All right, then. So, story number one: Matthew McConaughey arrested for weed possession, but also for being nude on a building, which is with bongos. Oh, he's up to all kinds of fun and shenanigans. But anyway, look, there's story number one: Matthew McConaughey and his nudie parties with bongos. What is story number two, Emma?
Story number two is that John Hamm from Mad Men was a high school drama teacher before he became an actor, and one of his students was Ellie Kemper, who was in The Office, the US Office.
Oh, cool. Who is she?
She has a new series now that Tina Fey wrote.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay,
she's Erin in The Office.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, then. Okay. Well, John Hamm, before he was a big old actor, was teaching, which I guess a lot of out of work actors and stuff might do. And he came across, of course, another lady who came on to be a massive star. What's her name? Yeah.
Her name is Ellie Kemper.
Ellie Kemper. Well, there you go. All right. What is story number three?
Could you imagine that hunk being your drama teacher?
I know,
like that.
Imagine her as a student. Never mind that. Imagine her as a student, more importantly. What's story number three?
Okay, so from one school to another, the third story is about a school as well.
Good. I love schools.
The Fresh Prince of
Bel-Air. You're not allowed near schools.
I love school. They're awesome.
Nobody would let you near school.
No, I wouldn't. I look like I'm still in school.
You do, actually.
I could probably pass. I could probably just go in with a school bag on my back.
I told you before, no, that is not a good idea.
You know what I mean? No one would ever know the difference. All right,
have you still got your school jumper?
I pretty much dress like a crap teenager anyway. There's really not very far to go. I could even probably not shave and get away with it. They'd just be like, yeah, he's a bit of face fluffy. You know, you're going through puberty. He looks fine. Right, what's story number three?
Story number three is, you know the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme tune?
Yes.
Yeah.
So a receptionist in a school was trying to ring a student, and he had the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme tune as his voicemail. And it basically, you know the bit where it says shooting some b-ball outside of the school? He said shooting some b-ball outside the school, but she thought that he said that he was shooting some people outside of the school. So she called the police and the whole school was put on lockdown.
Wow-wee. All right then. So a receptionist from a school rang one of the kids and the voicemail was that, and being an absolute imbecile, she interpreted that to mean that he was shooting people outside of the school. Well, there you go.
I think I overcomplicated that one a little bit.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Well, my notes stop at receptionist from. Literally, I couldn't think of anything else to write. I was like, fuck, I'll just paraphrase that when we get to it. It's fine.
He's telling the truth because we can see it here.
Yeah, I receptionist from will do. I'll wing it when we get back to it. What's story number four?
Story number four is that Steve Carell enrolled in the military. Okay. Before he was an actor, so he was going to become an Air Force pilot and that's like his dream job, but he had to leave because he had some health issues, so he then went on to become a postman.
Wow. Alright, fair enough. Well, listen, these are the four stories, and I tell you, as always, I have no inkling as to what the fake one might actually be. One of these is fake. Let me run through them really quickly again, what the stories are. Steve Carell was going to be, or was in the military, was going to be in the Air Force, all of that kind of stuff. However, some health issues, I guess, led him in the direction of being a postman before, of course, he became a very famous actor. Story number three.
Oscar-nominated actor.
Is he Oscar-nominated?
He was just Oscar-nominated there, Chris.
Oh, is that for that
Foxcatcher? Foxcatcher,
where he's the weird millionaire who makes the guys wrestle and stuff. Oh, yeah, okay. My kind of film. Story number three was...
You just made it sound really seedy.
Well, I think it's supposed to be seedy, though. I'm pretty sure that's kind of the plot of the film. He's this weird, eccentric millionaire.
He is millionaire, a little bit strange.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I would do that with girls if I was rich. What's he doing it with lads? Like, he has it all wrong. But
Channing
anyway.
Tatum, in fairness.
I mean, maybe with him. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe make an exception for him, but otherwise. Right, story number three was that a receptionist in a school rang a student looking to speak to him. She got the voicemail, which was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme, and she misheard some of the lyrics, and she thought there was a shooting going on outside of the school, I tell you. And of course, John Hamm from Mad Men was a drama teacher before he became an actor. That was story number two and story number one. Oh, of course, and also that your one from The Office was in his class.
Ellie Kemper.
Yes. And story number one, Matthew McConaughey was arrested for weed possession while nude and playing bongos. So I tell you, those are some selection of stories. Kira, do you want to go first?
Yeah, no, I'll go first. I'm stuck between two. Now, the third one could be like one of those urban myths you hear. So I think that Emma's kind of thrown in a doozy there. Because I'd imagine the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme tune has been used to, you know, those religious shows, Chris, that run on American television.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have the American guy going, okay, well, in this guy was born in West Philadelphia. That's where he was born and raised, in a playground where he spent. And the joke is, everyone knows that, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme tune. So that one is kind of confusing me. I've heard that Matthew McConaughey was arrested. I don't know, and it was for a drugs possession. I didn't know about the whole being naked and playing a bongo, though.
Look, it just makes it better, doesn't it?
John Hamm was, like, he might have been a high school teacher. Ellie Kemper was one of his students. That could be. The John Hamm one and the Steve Carell one. I'm going to say the Steve Carell one isn't true. I just can't imagine Steve Carell as an Air Force pilot.
Okay, well, see, this is interesting because I might have said that. But now to freshen things up a bit. So come on, I might as well change it a little bit. I know the Matthew McConaughey story is true. I'm a big fan of anything involving nude Matthew McConaughey. I think that other thing is real about the receptionist ringing the kid and thinking there was a shooting going on. I'm pretty sure that is real. So yeah, for me, it's also between John Hamm and Steve Carell. Now, we could hedge our bets and try and tear Emma down. So if I choose a story and Kira chooses a story, there's a lot greater a chance of at least one of us being right.
See, this is it.
And Emma,
at this stage, no offense to Emma, Chris, either you need to win or I need to win.
Oh, Emma has become the common enemy at this point. Absolutely. Apologies, Emma. But that's just how it is. So,
you're so polite.
Yeah, look, that's just how it is, right? I'll choose a different story. I'll say the John Hamm story is the fake one, all right? So there you go. Those are the four stories. Emma, are you happy with how this has gone?
Yeah.
Emma's in because she's playing the fake celebrity news quiz with us. Now, how this works is Emma gives us four celebrity news stories. However, one of these stories is fake, and it'll be up to Kira and I to try and guess which story is fake among all of the real ones. And I know everyone is playing along, but I am refraining from looking at the texts or the tweets or anything like this because, you know, I don't want any unfair advantage. So, Emma, can we hear the four stories again, please?
Sure. Thank you. The first one is that Matthew McConaughey was arrested for having drugs, possession of marijuana, but when the cops arrived, he was dancing naked playing the bongo.
Good.
Yes.
That sounds good.
That's a good night for the cops, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a good story.
That's an amazing story.
Guys, you're never going to guess. We busted this guy and it's Matthew McConaughey and he's naked and he's playing bongos. That is a great story for the grandchildren.
Then they're all like, Ari, is that what happened? Is it? You know, you'd never believe that. You'd never believe that story. But anyway, there you go. That's story number one. Emma, what is story number two? Tell me right now.
Story number two is that John Hamm from Mad Men was once a drama teacher in high school, and he taught Ellie Kemper, who is Erin in The Office.
Okay, then. What is story number three?
Story number three is that a receptionist from a high school once tried to ring a student, and his answering, like his message minder was, what do you call it? The message minder.
I just call it a voicemail.
Voicemail.
Jesus, that's old school.
American, isn't
no,
it?
Message minder is from like when it was Eatsat Digiphone like 15 years ago. Wowee.
Oh, 8-8, is that the one?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, message minder.
Okay, so his voicemail was the theme tune to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and she thought that he was saying that he was shooting a lot of people outside of the school.
Okay, yes.
So well, went into lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And after high school, Steve Carell enrolled in the military to become an Air Force pilot, but he had to leave due to medical reasons, and he then went on to be a mailman before becoming an actor.
Well, good for him. In the end, life went all right, didn't it?
It did. It went really well for him.
All right, well, look. It's time we got down to it. I don't like this part. I always get a little nervous. I always get a little worried. But hey, that's understandable when something big is going down. So here's the tense music. Kira, how are you feeling?
I'm a little bit nervous to tell you the truth.
Emma, how are you feeling?
A little bit nervous to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Look, this is easy. It's
she's
okay.
Trying to do.
It's okay.
She's psyching us out,
yeah,
Chris.
She's not giving us an inch.
No, she's not.
Yeah. Don't worry, this is always a little scary, so don't either of you worry.
One of these days, we will win the €1 million.
We will, yeah. We'll get there.
One of these days, the budget will allow for it.
Yeah, we'll have €1 million prize for the fake celebrity news quiz. There's no way I'm getting any people on as well either. I'm like, no, the contestants are me and Kira, and that is the end of it. All right. Emma, this is not pleasant.
No, it's
because,
not.
Because these four stories... Can you start narrowing it down for me?
Can you remind me which one you picked again, Chris?
Sure, I picked the fake one being John Hamm was an actor in a high school and Ellie Kemper from The Office, the US Office, who's now
students.
Kimmy Schmidt, you might know her as on Netflix.
Okay.
I said that was the fake story. I believe Kira said the Steve Carell story was the fake story. Okay.
Okay, I thought that. I completely forgot which one you'd done. So I can tell
she
you...
She completely forgot, did she?
Oh, I'd say she did. Butter wouldn't melt now in Emma's old mouth. Yeah.
Okay, break it down, Emma.
What's that old saying? Born with a spoon in her mouth?
Well, I have no idea.
I haven't a clue.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
Seriously, stop trying to psych us out, Emma.
Okay, so Matthew McConaughey.
A stitch
That's
in time
true.
Saves nine. is the phrase you're looking for.
What's in the cat is in the kitten.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander, is the phrase you're looking for. Okay.
I was trying to think one. I'm like, crap, they've got all the good ones. So Matthew McConaughey, that story is true.
He was arrested.
Yeah. No, I've heard of that. That's pretty cool.
Naked playing bongos.
What a badass, in fairness.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't laugh at him for that. You'd be like, good man, that's how you party.
Then
you know?
He went on to win an Oscar.
Yeah, that's how you party.
That's how you win an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly.
That is right. How you win an Oscar.
Is it?
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air story is true as
So it's between me and you, Kira.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Emma hasn't won tonight.
Kira, don't take such glee in Emma's downfall. Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Could you be a little more decorum? Have a little bit more decorum.
For God's sake, Kira.
Have a little bit more discretion.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's my first time winning or losing in weeks.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's obviously going to affect me. Jesus. So, Chris.
Yeah.
Like, can I just give you a bit of advice?
Yeah.
Every week you say to Kira, so Kira, which story do you think is fake? And Kira tells you, and you say, oh, that's the one I was going to go for, but I'm just going to be different and go for something else.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This always happens every week.
Mm-hmm.
And Kira always wins.
Phew, the Steve Carell story then was the fake story.
All right. Well, it's bittersweet. Emma lost, but Kira won, so still no benefit for me.
Yeah,
great.
You just need to rethink your game plan a little bit. Well done, Kira.
Well,
thank you.
I guess so. Hey, do you want to...
You had gone with that same one. It could have been a draw. It could have been me and you, buddy.
Yeah, that's no fun, though. Especially when we're like eliminating them. I know what you mean. We could have. If I was playing it safe.
You would have been on a high together for the rest of the night. You
no,
know?
You see, if I have to share it with Kira, it's not really a high. It's like, all right, you know, whatever.
He's
Don't
sick
be mean.
Of sharing things with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, he's so mean.
Yeah, here, listen, this is funny. You know the way there's this kind of trend now of trying to force the lyrics from The Fresh Prince into various situations. Mm-hmm. This is it on the Christian TV show.
Someone who's written a story here is a long one.
So basically the
I
plot
can't
of
hear
a,
it.
Oh yeah, the plot, hold on. The plot of a lot of these shows is like the guy reads out like advice to the listeners because they're like, I'm worried that I'm not devoted enough to God. And then he's like, well, you need to pray every day. And you know, basically it's the same thing every time, but this is just amazing. Hold on.
He says, I'm a newly born-again Christian and would like to share my story of salvation with you. I was born in West Philadelphia and also raised there. I spent most of my days playing basketball on a playground, but also chilling out and relaxing. But then one day, a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my living area. I ended up getting into a fight, which terrified my mother. As a result, she sent me away from West Philadelphia to the most peaceful area of Bel Air.
Oh, isn't that a nice story, Liz?
That's lovely.
Isn't that brilliant? Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I love that, my living area.
Yes. Getting into trouble.
Oh, I love it.
You know, that still goes on. Like, I was even looking, because I keep an eye on all this stuff. It happened just like a day or two ago on... there's this another political TV show. Hey, will we play this one as well? There's one in the US that's a political chat show that they have every morning. And it is so... It's so funny how they keep doing it. There's one particular show called C-SPAN, which there's no real equivalent here, but it's basically a morning show in Washington. And all they do is discuss politics. Honestly, it looks like the most boring thing imaginable. But every now and then, this happens. Literally, it happens every few weeks, and it's so much fun. I don't know why they don't just have a delay or pre-record it or whatever.
But how much influence that should Congress have on this process? Los Angeles, California, Republican line. Here is Jack. Go ahead.
So now here's Jack with his story. Listen to how serious that thing that just went before him was. Now listen.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jack Strickland. I just want to make it clear, first of all, I'm calling from Bel Air, California, but I am originally from Philadelphia, specifically West Philadelphia. But anyway, I was actually discussing this issue with a friend of mine recently while I was in Philly. It occurred on a basketball court. At some point during the conversation, a couple of guys who were up to no good essentially started causing trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight, and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air."
Again, for the first 45 minutes.
So now they just completely ignore it? Like, you see the way the presenter just moved on? It's now such a normal thing on that show that they're just like, oh, another Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song.
So is that somebody just calling in, like, saying that they have a story?
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like, brilliant. Oh, we better put this guy with his political opinions on air, and then he's just doing that. But look.
Imagine doing that on, like, Liveline or something.
I should start ringing Joe and just being like, Joe, listen, I lived in Philadelphia for a few years.
Chris, that would be brilliant.
Me and you should start doing that. Someday we should set aside a few hours and just keep ringing Liveline.
Yeah.
Just be like, Joe, look, interesting story. I was on a J1 in West Philadelphia, okay? And I got into a fight.
You were born and raised.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'd have to change the story somewhat. Huh. Oh, yeah. Well, look, Emma, we'll formulate a plan.
Yeah, but Emma, let me in on this. I want to be there for it.
Oh, yeah, you can do the calls too. Yeah. Look, Emma, it's fun as always. I love when you come in when we play this game. Emma, of course, in playing the fake celebrity news quiz with us. Kira, a congratulations to you.
Thank you.
If you would like to follow Emma, of course, on the old internet, her Twitter is at EmmaPower87 and her Instagram is instagram.com/EmmaPower87. Emma, thank you for coming in. On the phone with us is a lady who I am very eager to speak to because I think this is a very cool idea. Sarah, hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Now, Sarah, you are an Irish artist, we could say. You're still young. You're still, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but this is quite a project to have undertaken for someone of your age. I mean, this is a big deal, in fairness. So, Sarah Honan is your name, and you're from Waterford. And honestly, when I read this, and Kira was telling me about this, I was like, wow, this is something extraordinary. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone doing this before. So, you have a project called Blink, but how did this originally start, Sarah?
Well, basically it came about like most things in that it was a coincidence. I was up late painting one night and looking for new subject matter. And basically I had become bored of traditional portraiture in that I would lose interest in just painting these beautiful, flawless faces.
Sure.
Okay.
So I've been interested in gender studies and issues of female identity for years. So I started thinking on these topics and I really quickly just got this thought of kind of the anonymous woman in my head. And through that, I thought of the term Jane Doe, which is used to basically is the name given to any woman who dies without her identity being known.
Sure.
And I started looking for a database and came across the US Unidentified Persons database and realized that there were over 2,000 cases of unidentified females registered on that.
Wow.
So I pretty much knew straight away that one portrait wasn't going to be enough. And after reading so many brutal and horrific stories, a personal endeavor kind of just became a really public project.
Okay, so what you did was you sourced through the photos that were on this database, and they're all morgue photos of unidentified women.
Yes, so a lot of them might only be like skeletal or partial remains. There's not photos attached to them.
Okay.
So there was about 400 with images attached, but some of them were only digital reconstructions. And then I had about 100 or more cases where there was actual morgue photographs attached.
Wow. There's some of these photos here, or some of these paintings, and I'm looking at them. One woman, she was found on the 14th of February in 1988, naked and lying on the street in an industrial area in New York. And there are clear signs that she'd been bound at the hands and ankles prior to her death. She's a Jane Doe. Another one was a victim of a sex party gone wrong, was found laying dead between two parked cars in New York City as well. So they all have these really sad kind of stories behind them, because nobody knows what happened to them and nobody knows who they are, and they don't have anybody in their life. They obviously don't have anybody in their life if somebody hasn't noticed they've gone missing, you know?
Yeah, no, it is really sad, and a lot of them are homicides and a lot of them have very horrific case files. But I think what was more shocking to me was some people who seemed to die of natural causes. Like, there was one woman found in 1982 in a bus stop bathroom who still had her wedding ring on, but no identification. And another woman had at least given birth to one child in her life.
Wow.
But she died. So it's not just kind of women we think of as being on the outskirts of society.
Sure. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. They're not.
It's mothers wives and partners. And
Wow. God, exactly, this is something else. So let me ask you as well, because I think this is really interesting. I don't know anything about the process of getting the pictures. You seem to know an awful lot about the people. So I take it with the pictures, there's medical reports and there's all that kind of stuff as well, is there?
Exactly. With all the 2,000 files, there's a case file for everyone, and usually it's just a medical examiner's report.
Wow.
But as you'd know from kind of reading papers and stuff, a lot of the open homicides have very sketchy reports in that only so much is released to the public. So some of them are very sparse.
Wow, Jesus. I'm looking through some of these pictures, and they really are. I mean, it's, as you say, I mean, if you wanted to choose a slightly more interesting subject matter for portraits, you've definitely achieved that. Some of these.
Did you find it really sad? Like, genuinely?
Yeah, for the first couple of weeks after I came across it, to be honest, it wasn't even a sadness. It was just, I felt physically ill. After seeing, you know, because these are only 18 and I saw hundreds of cases.
So you've drawn 18 so far?
Well, no, I have over 20 finished paintings, but there are 18 of them are on display in the installation.
Okay. Wow. Oh, I tell you, this is something else. And is the intention to continue to draw them?
I would definitely do that in my own, because there were so many that I had a real interest in that just basically for various reasons I haven't done yet. So personally, I would love to keep doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. You hit on a good point, because I know that you were interviewed about this and you said, I think that everyone deserves some form of legacy. And in a way, when, you know, these women died and they went unidentified, it was as if their slates had been wiped clean. It was like they never existed. And if you think about that on a human level, like, Chris, can you ever imagine if you left this world that no one would care?
I mean, of course, it's such a sad concept to be a John Doe or a Jane Doe. Literally, no one even comes to collect you from the morgue. Like, literally, that's what it is. Oh, it's a horrible concept.
That everybody kind of goes through life and would like to think that when we do have to leave or whatever, that we do leave some sort of legacy behind, whether it's children, whether it's great friends, whether it's, you know, your work or something like that. It's kind of mind-boggling to me that they had absolutely no one to give them any sort of identity.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's terrifying. Sarah, how can we view the pictures at the moment? Because, like, where could we go see them?
And basically, every picture of the portraits and the case files are all on my website, which is www.janedoe.ie.
Sure.
And then if you wanted to see them in person, they're still on display in an installation on O'Connell Street here in Waterford City.
Okay.
In
so
Waterford City.
On O'Connell Street in Waterford City, there is an installation you've set up, and also janedoe.ie, where you can look at all these pictures. Because I tell you, this is a very clever way of doing things and a very, very interesting way of honouring these ladies. Can I ask, Sarah, is there any one particular picture that really resonated with you? If you had to, and I know it's probably like asking an artist to choose their favourite picture is probably a little basic a question, but out of all of the pictures that you drew, would you be able to choose one that particularly struck a chord with you or that you have a particular fondness or affinity with?
Well, there's so many, but weirdly enough, there was this one case, a girl found in 1979 in Caledonia, who I found out actually after the exhibition opened has now been identified.
Oh, wow.
She was identified in January, nothing to do with Blink or anything.
Sure.
But 36 years after her death, she was identified by DNA given from her half-sister. Her missing persons report was only filed in August of 2014, and she died when she was murdered when she was 16.
And that was, wow. You say 30 something years ago. Did you say 35 years ago?
36.
Wow. Good Lord. Okay, well, geez, I tell you, that would be my favourite. And what was the lady's name in the end?
Her name is Tammy Jo Alexander.
There you go. Wow.
Well,
I tell
I'm
you.
Really glad that she finally got identified.
Yeah. Well, look, did you since annotate her name to the picture in the installation?
I did on the website.
Wow.
It's just the date on the installation, but it's on the website.
Sure. Wow. Well, look, I tell you, what a concept. I have to say, I've never heard of anything like this, and I think it's genuinely really cool. And I don't mean cool in too disrespectful a way, but it certainly is very interesting. It is Sarah Honan, is this lady's name, this artist's name, is in Waterford, as you say, in O'Connell Street in Waterford. You can go in and you can physically look at these in an installation, but of course, they're all also available on Jane Doe. .ie. Wow. Well, I tell you, this is your latest installation. I can't wait to see what your next installation is. This is really something. So, look, Sarah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Wowee. That
it's
is
a scary
something else.
Thought, and I know we don't usually get that deep on this show because you know it's me and you or whatever. Yeah. But there's something really sad about that. Like 2,000 unidentified women lying in morgues.
I know.
Like you just. You see, I can't get my head around, and I'm obviously really, really lucky because I have a mum and a dad and a brother and I have family, you know? So I would like to think that I've done enough of a job that they will care about my legacy, you know, that sort of way?
Yeah, you know.
Well, you know,
I'm
all right. I can be annoying at times.
You might get a tribute on, like, the radio because you worked here.
Do you think so?
We'd have to, wouldn't we? If you died. We'd have to do something. You know what I mean? We would, though. We'd have to say something of some sort.
Yeah.
And we'd have to be like, oh, she was a great broadcaster and all that. Like, even if you weren't, like, we'd still have to be like, she was wonderful. She changed how we listen to radio, you know?
Yeah.
So you're all right. You probably won't be a Jane Doe. But, you know, it is something I always thought about. And I never meant it in a smart way. But, you know, if you ever watch these, like, CSI and all
they
of these episodes.
They always mention Jane Doe has been found. Yeah.
But also, they mention a particular type of person, a particular type of murder victim, which is called a high-risk murder victim. Do you know what a high-risk murder victim is? It's a high-risk murder victim is basically somebody who, for whatever circumstance and reason in life, would be one of these girls. And what I mean by that is no one would notice she was gone.
Wow.
So it's often runaway girls from home, prostitutes, like, you know, drug addicts who are estranged from their family. They're high risk people. Do you see what I'm saying? And there's quite a chance that no one might notice they're gone. Literally. Like, look, no one would really care if I was gone, but for the fact that I literally wouldn't show up for work. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm. Literally, people would be like, well, where is he? Do you know? But some of these people...
I'd miss you.
No, you wouldn't. Not at all. But some of these people, literally, no one might have asked that question when they went missing.
I know.
And it could have been 5 years before someone went, hey, where is your one we used to see hanging around here, kind of thing. So that was a really nice way of tributing them, I guess, and honouring them. So look, and joining us in the studio, as he does every Tuesday, I love this, is friend of the show and psychoanalyst Michael Murphy. Let's give him a big round of applause. You know, I had the TV on in the background the other day. I think I might have spotted Michael on again with Dahi and Maura having
on the
fun
Thursday
on
afternoon.
Yes, that's right.
Friday morning, maybe. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Michael, can I ask a serious question now? Me and Kira are more fun, right?
Yes.
Like Dahi and Moore, they're okay. But like this is where the real fun is at.
We don't want you to pick favourites, Michael, or anything, but you know.
We understand you have to go on there.
We have a bit of fun here.
Exactly.
With these
I mean, those guys,
we?
They're a little, you know. I know Michael prefers coming on here. Let's put
and
it
And I think Chris is way better looking than Dahi.
Yeah,
show,
way better. Like, look, this is
ridiculous.
Well,
I tell you, gang, the clothes are better for a start here.
The fashion, you're right. The high couture here, you're dead right. Well, look, Michael comes in every week, and we have great fun because as a psychoanalyst, Michael might have kind of a knack of looking at your dreams in a way that you might not have. And maybe when we look at a dream, or when we have a dream or think about a dream or talk to our friends about dreams, they can have other meanings. They can have other hidden subconscious messages that your mind is giving you that maybe you're not aware of. But deep down on a very, very, I guess, cerebral level, in a very deep part of your brain, your mind could be putting on a little show for you to try and alert you to something that's going on in your life. So don't disregard your dreams. Don't discount them, because there could be a lot going on in them that you're not aware of. So if you'd ever like to send in a dream, 51552 is the number, 51552. Send it in. We'll put it to Michael if we can, and we'll have a look at them. Kira, will we get started?
Sure. This one is from Dara. It says, I was at a party and was with a girl I've never seen before. Out of nowhere, my girlfriend shows up and sits on her own, and everyone starts shouting at her. She got really upset, but I ended up leaving with a girl I'd never seen before.
Okay.
Ooh, all right. My goodness.
Interesting dream, Michael.
So what do you make of the conflict that's dramatized in Dara's dream there?
It's like the girl is looking for more attention. The actual girlfriend is looking for more attention.
And then she just gets shouted at. Yeah. By everybody. Poor girl. What an awful night for her. For once I'm siding with the girl. I'm like, oh Jesus, that poor girlfriend showing up and getting screamed at and then seeing her boyfriend leave with someone else.
The girlfriend got really upset.
Yeah. Yeah. Good Lord. What is
that?
But
Dara was like, whatever, and left with the other girl that he'd never seen before.
Yeah.
Well, that's not boyfriend of the
an
year.
An interesting
behavior.
Dream. And I think it's important that Dara take this dream seriously. It's drawing his attention to the fact that there are aspects to the feminine that Dara has never seen before, which are different to those of his girlfriend. So as a starting point, it might be useful exercise to do a compare and contrast between the qualities of the girl in the dream that he's never seen before and his girlfriend's attributes. Now, he says that when the girlfriend shows up, everyone starts shouting at her, which seems to suggest that he's angry or irritated with his girlfriend at some level. As he says, she sits on her own and gets really upset. So Dara is anticipating her reaction to discovering new aspects of the feminine that he's never seen before. She won't like it. And finally, it's important to state clearly that this exploration of the feminine, because that's what's going on in the dream,
sure.
Two aspects of the feminine. It's an internal journey rather than a projection outwards onto other women. So I think it's really him getting in touch with aspects of his own feminine that he has never seen before, and it's blowing his mind in some way. You know, yeah. He's gone off with that aspect that he has never seen before.
See, that's important to say. As you say, it's not a reflection on what he thinks of his current girlfriend or
yes,
anything like that.
That's right.
In his mind, both of those girls are kind of just characters.
Yeah.
Representing how he looks at womanhood or femininity and all that. So
well done.
Let's not have
well
the girlfriend getting too worried either, you know, because it's not against her as such. No. Yeah, exactly. No, I hear you. Well, look, listen to this dream. It says, sometimes I dream that pigeons keep pooping on me. I'm running around trying to dodge it. And that's from Jim. Oh, dear. All right.
Well, Chris, look, and Kira, any thoughts?
Well, a bird pooping on you is supposed to be good luck, isn't it? But like, they just say that because it's a crap experience.
Pigeons
are
really annoying.
Oh,
though.
No pun intended.
No, sorry, actually, yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean, though? They just say that kind of old wives' rubbish because, like, who wants a bird going to the toilet on them? So then they're like, oh, that's a sign of good luck, but it's not really, you know?
Pigeons are also really annoying. You know yourself from walking down Shop Street in Galway, Chris, and pigeons are coming down swooping. And
they're really aggressive.
And I'm like, well, I'm always trying to duck and, you know, I'm always trying to duck and dodge from them. Like, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, they're very aggressive too.
Well, it's interesting what Chris said there too. You know, who wants a bird crapping on you?
Nobody.
You know, the dream is showing that Jim is being shat on. Is it his girlfriend? You know?
Right, so someone is trampling all over him.
It's being done by pigeons in the dream, but I think there's a pun there. A pigeon is slang for a dupe, an easily gullible person. No pun intended again.
Sure.
And in the sporting world, rogues and their dupes are called rooks and pigeons. So I think the meaning of the dream is at some level Jim is being taken for an idiot and people are pooping on him, as he says.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, and you know what a party pooper is?
Sure,
someone whose behaviour or attitude spoils other people's enjoyment. A wet blanket, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And the dream seems to have been triggered by people who consider Jim to be a party pooper. So they behave badly towards him. And that's much more about them than about Jim. It has nothing to do with you, Jim. So I'd say, look, examine what's going on around you. And when you've identified those people who are treating you badly gives them a wide berth, because it's a waste of time trying to house train other people and getting them to change their attitudes towards you. Certainly don't waste your valuable time running around trying to dodge it, as you say in the dream. Just chalk it up to experience, move on, leaving those people who shit on you behind.
There you go. Okay. Exactly. Amen. All right.
Right, this is from Marion. She said, I had a dream that I was sent to work on roller skates. I went around the office on them all day and no one batted an eye. Then my colleagues became cement and every time they touched, they got stuck together. That is a really weird work dream.
What a horrible workplace. Yeah.
Yes.
I'd love to wear rollerblades.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah, I would.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about radio.
Yeah. Kira is wearing rollerblades.
Kira is wearing rollerblades.
A beautiful
going
pair
round
of them.
And around the studio. Isn't
yes.
wonderful?
In yeah. hot pants. Like those, you know, those old diner outfits right. that they used to have in the US, and she's wearing yeah, those and she's yeah. a waitress on roller skates. It's yeah, amazing. Yeah. It's
you
wonderful.
See, aren't there pictures of them in Eddie Rockets?
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, what's going on here?
Well, look, she's got her skates on at work. She made haste, and as she says, no one batted an eye, so she has permission to do that. And then there's the second half of the dream where her colleagues become cement, which is a pasty mixture that hardens into a rock-like substance. So as a result of Marion getting her skates on, her colleagues slowed up so much that they actually turned to stone.
Wow.
They were petrified.
Okay. Wow.
Now, finally, Marion says that every time they touched, they got stuck together. So I think the dream is telling Marion that her colleagues will stick together if she makes haste at work. They'll band together in being slow, so it has to be an individual choice on her part if she wants to get a move on, and she may have to leave them behind as she progresses. I think that's a bottom line in the dream as well.
So there's a bit of workplace yeah. politics going
there
on here, and maybe
indeed,
Marion's
yeah.
showing people up by acting a little too fast.
That's it.
Oh,
that's
dear.
What the dream is saying.
All right. Well, look, listen, let's have a look at this dream. It says, I dreamt that I went to my ex's house, who is now married. I wanted to see his mother, who also lives in the house. I wanted to talk to his mother about cooking and wine. Then my ex came in and we went for a walk. He said that things were not going well with his partner and she only brings him cakes in bed. Alright, well look, what an awful partner. Only bringing him cakes in bed. We hugged then. We had a difficult breakup 4 years ago and this has wrecked my head. Thanks. Oh Lord. Well, what's going on
well,
here, Mike?
Yeah, this time I'll ask Kira to give a woman's perspective and what do you think is going on in the drama of the dream?
Maybe she's finally over him.
Right.
And all the things that she wants to do are really normal. Mm-hmm. Like wanting to talk to his mother about cooking and wine, going for a walk, hugging. Also, you know, there's a female aspect where you if you're with somebody, you know, you don't exactly... Sometimes I think people might get a little bit of glee out of the fact that they might be getting on so great with their current partner.
Sure.
You know, it kind of makes you
That's
feel better about yourself.
Well. Yes.
Because, you know, your relationship didn't work out for some reason. But I think she's kind of resolving it a little bit. I think she's maybe, I don't know, saying goodbye in her dream or...
Could I
don't
offer,
know, or okay. maybe I'm wrong.
My opinion, yeah. I don't think you're over an ex if you're dreaming about hanging out with their mother and chatting about cooking. Like, I wouldn't be dreaming about anything to do with them. Why yeah. would I want to talk to their mother?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Why would I want any involvement
or
in that?
Maybe it's the fact that she hasn't dealt with the breakup herself and now it's kind of come up in her subconscious
yeah.
again and she's...
Yeah.
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 Well, what do you think, Michael? Well, we can feck on here all evening.
The reasoning that the dreamer comes up with for the present relationship of her ex with his wife is that, as she says, that his partner only brings him cakes in bed. So she's positing being good in bed as the reason he married his wife.
Oh!
And the phrase cakes and ale means a good time filled with
oh,
pleasure.
Oh, only brings him cakes in bed as in
yeah.
the main thing is I like what's going on in the bedroom. Oh,
yeah,
I didn't get
I
that.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's clever.
Look, let's,
oh, wow.
If you take it further, the word cake comes from an Indo-European root that means something round and lumpy.
Sure.
In this context, breast and buttocks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus, I didn't see that at all. See, this is why we have Michael in analysing these dreams. We would have both glossed right over that. So basically, this new owl relationship is based on the physical.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. That's the reason he left her, you know, in the drama of the dream. Then she goes for a walk with her ex. He tells her things aren't going well with his wife and they hug. So part of her definitely desires to rekindle that relationship.
Wow.
And she fools herself in the dream by saying, I wanted to talk to his mother about cooking
you
wine.
Did not. that, will you stop?
Which is really about contacting the nourishing, mothering part of herself that maybe could cook for her ex and give him wine. But at this stage, it'd be new wine in old bottles, which is adding or imposing something new to the old established order. The fact that her ex is now married and the results of making contact would be disastrous. Already the dreamer sort of knows that. She's saying, this has wrecked my head.
Wow.
So, you know, I think you should stop seeing the relationship through rose-tinted spectacles. Look, there were bad times in the relationship as well as good. Otherwise, you wouldn't have broken up, you know. Bring some perspective to bear. Get a grip, if you like. Wow. And if you're feeling lonely, make some effort to find a new relationship or find some newness in the present relationship that you do have and consign that relationship with your ex to memory. It's over. Finito. Terminado. And it's time to move on.
Wow. Hey, look, can you make it any more categoric than that? I don't think so. That's what you need to hear, Texter. Absolutely. I tell you, I'm still amazed by that cakes in bed thing. I never would have seen that. Jesus. Yeah. Well, look, Michael, as always, it's great fun. Your website is psychologicaltherapyservices.com, psychologicaltherapyservices.com. And of course, you will be back with us next week looking at some more dreams. Michael, thank you for coming in.
Oh, apologies to be here.
You know, I mentioned this to you earlier and I kind of wanted to share it with you simply because when you read the story, right, that I'm about to read to you, you laugh to yourself and you go, God, aren't the people involved feckin' agents? But then when you really think about them, when you really think about the people in this story actually doing what I'm about to read to you, I must have laughed for about 7 minutes today to myself about this. And I know it's cruel or whatever, but my God, listen to this, right? This was posted by a journalist on Twitter, and I believe he's from, he's from The Telegraph. So I think he's from the UK. He generally does politics stuff. Ian is his name, and he posted a screenshot from what I believe is a New Zealand newspaper, okay? So let me read this to you. Let me read this report from a New Zealand newspaper to you. We were trapped for 13 hours in our own car, Brian Smith explained to reporters in Alexandra, New Zealand, and the emergency services told us we'd have died if we'd been there for another half hour. It's a keyless car, so when the doors shut and we didn't have the transponder key, we couldn't get out. See, with these new cars, if you carry a little transponder with you, they open as you're coming towards it.
Wow.
And then when you walk away, they close again.
Wow!
And it's a little thing you just keep in your pocket. You never have to take it out.
That sounds amazing.
It senses as you're coming towards the car. So anyway, they have a keyless car. Continue. We tried to smash the window with a car jack and we sounded our horn, but it was Guy Fawkes night and nobody noticed it due to fireworks. We were trapped.
Wow.
By morning, my wife was unconscious and I was struggling to breathe when neighbours finally rescued us and took us to the hospital. I've since been shown that I could have opened the door manually with the door handle, but I didn't know that then and I thought the doors would only work with the transponder, so I didn't try the handle. I think all owners of keyless cars need to educate themselves in how to operate their car.
Wow.
Now,
so you mean to tell me that this couple, they're stuck in a car. They think they're stuck in a car.
Yeah.
They're losing the will to live. They're running out of oxygen.
They would have died if they'd been there another half hour. One of them went unconscious. They were in the car overnight for 13 hours, right? They tried to smash the window with a car jack that was inside the car, but that didn't work. So they literally thought they were going to die in the car. And then they were like, oh no, Jesus, you can just open the door. Imagine. Can you imagine being those two people? John, try open the door again with the transponder. I'm telling you, it's not working. We're going to die in here.
Wow.
And literally, she could have just reached over and clicked open the door as you would open any car door for the last 100 years or so of life.
That's hilarious. A spokesperson for Mazda New Zealand observed that it's not a design flaw in the car. There is always a manual process to override new technologies.
Could you imagine being the people that saved them, their neighbours? Jeez, lads, what are you doing in the car? Sure, it just opens.
We're dead.
You've been sitting out here for 14 hours.
Margaret, we're dead. Oh, wait, did you just open the door? You know? Wow, God, that really scares me about humanity. But I'm not surprised, though.
We're going to die. Look, try smash the window open with the car jack. Okay, my last ounce of strength. Oh my God, it didn't work. We're going to die. And then literally the neighbor came over and said, how are you? Jeez, you've been sitting in the car for about 14 hours. Come here, there, you just click the door open. So there you go. This couple in New Zealand were sitting in the car thinking they were going to die. These people would both have died if they had been in this car another half hour and all they had to do was open the door. Imagine in the 14 hours you're in the car, you don't try opening the door once. You don't even try it once. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand if you're shocked, if you're disorientated, if you're a little all over the place. You might think, ah, Jesus, do you know what? They got caught up in the heat of the moment. And then 5 minutes later, they managed to open the door. They sat in the car for 14 hours and never thought, Jesus, will we try use the door handle? Nah, we won't. I'll smash the window with a jack instead. And then I'll try and press the transponder. And then if that doesn't work, well, we're going to die. I mean, I've tried everything. I've tried sounding the horn. I've tried smashing the window with a jack. Have you tried opening the door? No, I have not tried opening the door. Are you feckin' mad? So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with all of you.
That is crazy.
I thought of that couple in the car today. And I actually, when I was reading this, was in hysterics. Because I actually imagined the two of them. Like, thinking they were dying.
You know, probably telling each other they loved
exactly,
each other.
Exactly.
You know, being, it's okay, babe. At least we're going together, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. It's this big dramatic thing. This car will be our coffin, you know.
Yeah.
And then they could have just opened the door. So, there you go. Always be aware of things like that. Don't ever become too reliant on technology. Do you see what I'm saying? Thank you. This has been a public service announcement. You know what? A lot of you awake this evening. I want to say a shout out. I think this is so funny as well. Gav texted in to say, well, guys, I'm awake because I'm driving back to Athlone after driving to Dublin for a cinema date. And then Kira went, wow, that's dedication. And I'm like, Kira, do you not know the lengths a man will go to if there is a certain potential reward involved? I mean, were you born yesterday now, Kira?
Gav's a stand-up guy.
Oh,
you know?
Come on.
Like, Gav really, really likes that person enough to drive all the way to Dublin to go on a cinema date.
Yeah, that's it.
Gav sounds like a keeper. That's what I was thinking in my head.
Gav is making a long-term investment. Let's put it that way. That's what Gav is doing.
Does it always have to come back to sex? Maybe Gav really enjoyed this person's company.
Ah, yeah. But like...
And really enjoyed the movie. Maybe they have a mutual interest in good films.
Gav, who's right here, me or Kira? You can let us know when you get a chance. 51552. Someone says, well, guys, I am loving the music you're playing. Just home, was out at bingo, but I didn't win anything. Oh, dear. Mm. Well, you know what? If it makes you feel any better, I do love bingo as well.
Chris, you used to spend your summers playing bingo, no?
Telly bingo.
Yeah.
When Shirley Temple Bar used to present it. I used to watch it, like me and my friends, because we were all like teenagers. Well, I say me and my friends, me and one other weirdo. We had like this crap 11-inch TV that I owned. And I'd be like, yeah, we should get Telly Bingo tickets. So we'd walk to the shop and buy Telly Bingo tickets and then play Telly Bingo and never win. And that was our lives. And we're still not winning. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a great metaphor for us. But look, someone says, I'm awake driving back to Waterford from Dublin after an exam today. Your show is keeping me awake. Thank you, Emma. Well, Emma, you are welcome. And of course, Kira and I are doing a public service.
Yes, we are.
Someone says, I'm awake because I told my girlfriend I like plain panties. She asked me if I was the idiot that texted the show yesterday and now she won't sleep with me. Kevin, the idiot that texted the show yesterday. During there, I said it on the show yesterday. We were, you know, asking you, of course, to share things that you might not be able to share in normal company. And Kev, and I remember I gave him quite a talking to because I said, Kev, liking plain panties is ridiculous. The thongs and the French knickers and the lace and all that, that's all part of life. That's what makes it sexy, you and your plain panties. I mean, listen.
You're not a fan of plain panties then, Chris?
No.
Oh, I sound so excited when I'm asking you that question.
You do. You say plain panties with such a glee.
You're not a fan of plain panties then, Chris?
Yeah.
I don't even recognise the girl in that clip.
Well, it's
you. I don't even know who she is.
It's you. Someone says, I'm awake, tormented from texts from my ex, hinting at the possibility of maybe trying again. Do I follow my head or my heart? I'd do anything to get back with him, but couldn't take the heartache again if it didn't work out. Oh, follow your head, not your heart. Are you mental?
Mm.
Sorry, in these situations, listen, here's what you do. Whenever you need to make this kind of decision, I'm not saying this in a smart-ass way, whenever you need to make this kind of decision, toss off and then make the decision. I'm telling you, Dave, your head will be clearer. Everything will make more sense.
I don't think it's as simple as tossing off.
Hey, look, it certainly goes a long way. You see, you don't understand the mental clarity a man gets after tossing off. Like, our minds are constantly clouded with the idea that we should toss off. So then, when we do, we think much clearer. Think much more clearly.
Anyway, we have to give a shout out to Decky. He's on his way home from Dundalk to Roscommon after a soccer match. And Frank is awake because he has to drop his sister's boyfriend all the way back to Meath from Clare because mommy didn't want him to get the bus. You're a good brother, Frank. And Denise in Cork, she says she got her very first set of points today off a small little Garda.
Very sad
face on her way home from work.
I think I might have been caught with one of those vans, but I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure. I was going through an area where like they were, where like the speed changes, you know, like where it drops down. And like as in it goes from, we'll say 50 to 40 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think I might have got caught. I saw the thing flash. And I think a letter might be on the way.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm going to be on an episode of Cops, you know, because of that. Yeah, definitely.
Gav has texted back, Chris, to say that we're both right. This is Gav who texts in, said that he drove all the way to Dublin for a cinema date. Says you're both right. Good company and good film. I'd highly recommend Focus.
Okay.
See, Chris?
Fair enough. See? Well, we're both right. There you go. Hey, look, he wants, you know, he's looking for more. That's all I'm saying.
I just think that Gav went to the cinema for a nice time.
Mm. Well, wouldn't it be lovely if we lived in that kind of world?
Wouldn't it, though?
Yeah. I want to say hey to Ricky, who's on Twitter. Also, Damien is saying hi. As well as that, I also want to give a big shout out to friend of the show, Lauren, who is checking in. Also, we're asking you what it is you're doing awake, 51552. And someone says, I'm awake trying to figure out what to do with my job. So bored of work. Well, there you go. Look, Dexter, you see, I won't say to you what I know a lot of your friends might say if you were to share that with them. And it would be, yeah, at least you have a job, pal, huh? You should be lucky to have a job. Should be lucky if you can work 19 hours a day and break your fingers while doing so. But, you know, I mean, there is still, of course, the idea that maybe you're not that happy doing what you do. And there is also no shame in admitting that, because I've noticed, especially in the last few years, there's this kind of culture of, well, no matter what your job is, no matter what you're doing, you should be delighted with it, you know? Even if you're working half minimum wage, 11 hours a day, you should be over the moon, you know? But anyway, also, I'm, after getting a nice text from someone, they says, don't read this out or I'll be sacked, but he gives me some good advice on a particular issue I mentioned earlier. So, Jay, thank you. I appreciate your advice on that subject. Jay's like my own lawyer now here, or whatever it is Jay might do. Either guard or lawyer. And it never hurts to have as many friends like that as possible. So, look, Jay, thanks. But look, who knows? Hey, you know what, actually? How about we take one more track? We will. We'll take one more track. We'll do Mumford & Sons, Believe. Then we'll come back. We'll get a review of the show from Kira. We'll do all of that kind of stuff. Hey, I also want to give a big shout out to Gav, who is checking in. And as well as that, to someone who says, I'm awake, parked on the side of the road, working security on my own. Very exciting job. Well, there you go. Look, how about we finish the evening with not only the national anthem, but with a review of the show.
Sure.
From yes, Kira.
Just very quickly, I want to give a shout out to Mark. He says he's driving home to Kilkenny from Limerick, and not the way Google told him to. He's
Mark,
a rebel.
You're gonna get yourself killed. All right.
I'm
Jesus.
That idiot that goes around with Google Maps in my hand, and I still don't know where I'm going.
I feel like such a tourist sometimes when I'm using that. Like if I'm trying to get to a particular place I've never been before, mm-hmm. or whatever. I feel so stupid having to use Google Maps. Don't get me wrong, Google Maps is like one of the greatest inventions ever, but I do feel like quite the tourist having to ask. But hey, your Google Maps is always very pleasant and easy to deal with. Hey, how about I get the national anthem and we finish the show with a review from Kira with all of that kind of stuff. It will be amazing. So Kira, whenever you're ready, let me get the anthem for you.
Thank you, Chris. Well, we started the show tonight playing the fake celebrity news game with Miss Emma Power, and I broke her winning streak, I broke her spirit, and I won.
Yeah.
We had a really cool young Irish artist on talking about her art project on dead unidentified women. Check out janedoe.ie. Michael Murphy was on to analyse the dreams of the listeners, with myself and Chris throwing in a couple of, you know, little bit tidbits of our own.
Hey, look, we know what we're doing.
Chris tells us a ridiculous story about a couple in New Zealand who nearly died in a keyless car as they didn't attempt to open the door. And then, of course, we finish the show, as we always do, asking the wonderful Irish public what it is they're doing awake.
Kira. 2FM.